this is Kimberly Hartke with Hartkeia's Online blog. I cover the local foods movement and food politics and lots of information about small farms and good food. Tonight I have with me Mark Baker, a Mangalitsa pork producer in the state of Michigan, who is embroiled in a battle with his state Department of Natural Resources over his right to farm a heritage breed of pigs on free range. It seems that the Michigan pork producers and a group which calls itself the Agricultural Leaders of Michigan are colluding with this government agency. The DNR is charged with the oversight of public hunting grounds, and they for a long time have tried to shut down private hunting preserves. The DNR attempted to get the state legislature to outlaw these hunting preserves, which they would not do. The use of the invasive species order by the DNR effectively does an end run around representative democracy and imposes the will of agribusiness and the state agency on farmers and on consumers that would like to hunt this way or source their food this way. The fact of the matter is there is not even a feral hog problem in the state, at least not one that can't be taken care of by the hunters. Scott Everett is also going to be joining us. He's the lobbyist for the Michigan Animal Farmers Association. He represents the non-agribusiness sector of the market and has been working on this issue on their behalf. Dave Tuxbury, a private hunting preserve owner, he owns Deer Tracks Ranch, is a farmer that had the heartbreaking task of shooting his swine herd, mommies, babies, and boars. As the Michigan DNR was sending inspectors to his farm, he had to make that horrible decision to slaughter his herd en masse. The state was ready to fine him $20,000 for every pig found alive on his farm. And what I want to know is, where are the animal rights people when something like this is going on? Dave, can you tell me, have other farmers like yourself had to depopulate, i.e. slaughter their herds?
I think they did it in, I don't think they actually had the piglets, the mothers and the piglets like I had. They only had adults. I believe I was the only, I guess, ranch, you might say, that had a variety of sizes of animals. I had a barn that was raising mothers and piglets, as well as when they got older, I'd bring them out into the bigger area. So I had kind of the variety of both a farm and a ranch.
And tell us a little bit about your operation, about your fencing. What's the nature of your business?
I was concerned with animals getting free. So what I had done back when I started about 5 years ago, I had actually trenched down 2 foot in the ground and put a chain link fence 2 foot down, as well as 10 foot in the air. So it was basically impossible for an animal to penetrate through the fencing area that I have. So they were very safe, and the public was very safe.
And besides pigs, what other kinds of animals did you have on your preserve?
I do have some elk and deer as well. We do a little bit of harvesting them when it's necessary.
I see. And you basically sell tickets or day passes for hunters to come on your land and source food for their families. Is that the gist of what your business is?
I guess you could say that. Correct.
And Mark, I know that you had to kill your valuable pigs as well. Was your sheriff at all helpful to you in protecting your personal property?
No, my sheriff was kind of disengaged with the whole thing. My wife and I went to see him and to let him know that there was kind of a storm on the horizon, and he just wasn't very helpful with the whole thing. I've not seen him out at my place at all. We had actually some guys that were in our woods about 10:30 at night, and the sheriff had told me that if I needed a hand, he would be out, but he didn't come out that night because maybe it was a little too late for him.
That's a shame, because I know that sheriffs can be very helpful in a situation like this.
Yeah, he could have put an end to that very early on if he wanted to.
And Scott, I know you're not an attorney necessarily, but what are the legal issues at stake here? What are the constitutional ramifications of the state's actions?
Boy, where do I start? You know, if somebody's listening to this for the first time or hearing about the issue for the first time, they probably pretty cautiously were listening to what you've said so far and what you said in your opening statement, because you wouldn't believe it was true unless you've been going through it. And these two gentlemen that are on the phone, they're going through it right now. This really backs up several years ago to where the DNR director issued an order and said to the state legislature, unless you pass regulations, unless you pass a bill and have it signed into law, we're going to implement this order.
And it's called the Invasive Species Order, correct?
It's called the Invasive Species Order, right. And so for a long time, a lot of people were not looking at the Invasive Species Order as anything that was ever going to be implemented because they thought the legislature was going to take care of it. Well, the legislature, for whatever reason, has decided not to do what the DNR has told them to do, which is very odd politics, I might add. And so beginning April 1st, that's when the DNR said they were going to implement their order, and they did. Now, what they also have done is they published a declaratory ruling, which was requested by my employer, the Michigan Animal Farmers Association, which outlines how they were going to implement the order. And they decided that they were going to implement the order based on what a pig looks like. And you asked, what are the legal issues here and the ramifications, or where are we sitting with it? And we're sitting here with a law that bases an invasive species on how a pig looks.
Not on how they act or where they're located.
Well, you know, it's how they look. And that really begs the legal issue right there, because I don't think there's been any law like it in the country that bases a illegal animal based on how it looks.
Mark, I know that you and several other farmers and even a pig pet owner are suing the state over the matter. What is the nature of your particular lawsuit?
Well, Kim, we're suing the state for relief from the declaratory ruling so we can go back to what we do, raise animals. And we filed in 5 different counties. And let's see, part of our lawsuit is we're trying to get them to drop this on the basis that it's unconstitutional due to its vagueness. So we have a motion in place for them to stop this and give us relief. And that's going to be heard, I guess. They've pushed that back to October 15th, which is really tough for us because that's a lot of time. It's like 120 days. They pushed it back 6 weeks, first of all, and then they pushed it back another 4 months. So it's tough on us because nature of our business is that we want to raise our animals up and get them sold, but under the invasive species order, we cannot sell our animals at all.
So, in other words, your livelihood has been dead in the water since April 1.
That's correct. Yeah, we've been put on hold in our businesses.
And what does that mean in the life of a pig farmer on a practical level?
Well, what we do is we farrow our animals, and that means we help them to have young, and then those animals we foster them and then feed them and get them to an age where we can sell them. They've told us effectively that we cannot sell or even give our animals away. And so the animals are on the farm and we have to feed them, but we can't make any money off of them.
And potentially each one is a major liability at $20,000 a head, right?
That's correct. Under the declaratory ruling, they say that they can fine us up to $20,000 per violation. We have gone to them and asked them to tell us what a violation is, but of course, now that we're in litigation with them, they won't even talk to us. So we don't know if it's 20,000 per animal per day or $20,000 per animal per month, or we have no idea what it is, but we know that they have the ability right now to really, really stick it to us if they want to.
Dave, how are you and your family doing under the stress of this situation? Because I take it you both are in the same boat. You basically are not able to earn a living the way you have been for years.
I'm taking a very hard hit. I just had established some meat markets, actually, that were selling to some organic health-conscious stores in the area. So I was harvesting animals as they were getting mature, and we were just developing that market to where it was going to help the ranch out then. And it just became, that income was about $200,000 to $250,000 a year. On hogs. So without that, I have to take a look at the whole operation and say I might have to sell to a developer and actually just develop the property, which I never, ever, it's totally against my my being to do this to a beautiful parcel of land, but I don't know if I'll have a choice in the future.
Wow, that's really the biggest tragedy of all, is that apparently there are 2,000 farms and ranches that are adversely affected here. So conceivably, there's going to be a lot of land up for development, and that would mean a huge drop in price with that much of a flood of rural land up for sale. None of you will probably be able to get the true value of the land, much less that loss forever of that land as pastoral and beautiful and open, free range, you know. Well, have you been happy with the attention that the media has paid to the issue? Have you had a lot of reporters seeking you out on this yet, or is it still something that it's not on the radar screen?
Going back a few months ago when DNR decided to implement this order, the attention was very focused on them, especially over the internet. And it's pretty interesting because they did, I don't know, probably 3 or 4 weeks of in what they call inspections, and that was about it. They haven't made any moves in quite some time. I think once they saw the public focusing on this issue and questioning what they were doing, I think they pulled back. And we've had some recent developments that we're going to get into probably in a few minutes, but it's critical, I think, for the public to pay attention to this issue in Michigan, because as an agency is implementing this stuff, they don't like that very much. And so as much as people can pay attention and continue to voice their opinions, we need to keep that going as much as possible.
So that's good. The enforcement raids then have stopped for right now.
Wise Traditions conferences bring a world of nutrition information to the health professional and health-conscious consumer. And the conference meals and exhibit hall reflect our dietary principles. Join us this September 15th to 16th, Buffalo, New York, for our second regional conference. Or November 9th to 12th in Santa Clara, California, for our 13th annual international conference. Learn and grow in wellness. See more details on westonaprice.org.
What is a healthy diet? Conflicting information is thrown at us daily. Help chart your course to wellness with a steady guide, the Weston A. Price Foundation. Our nutrition and health information is helping many families recover from degenerative disease and nutrient deficiencies. Join for only $40 a year and receive our quarterly journal. Visit our website, westonaprice.org, for more details.
To learn more about this and other food rights cases, visit the Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund website, www.farmtoconsumer.org. To help farmers and consumers defend their rights, consider a donation today. Once again, that's www.farmtoconsumer.org.
I hear the head guy responsible for starting the swine invasive species order has just left his post. What do you think is going on there, Scott?
It's kind of ironic, not in a very funny way, where you've got two gentlemen here whose livelihoods depend on their farm operations and really depend on being able to manage their businesses long term. Farming is not a short term proposition. But on the other side of the fence, and you're exactly right, Rodney Stokes, that was appointed DNR director by Governor Rick Snyder a year and a half ago, just left. He's no longer the DNR director after approximately 15 months in that position. And he had that choice, I think, to take another job, and these farmers that are on the phone here don't have that choice. So you are correct. The individual that was responsible for, I wouldn't say he didn't start the invasive species order. That was started under the last governor. But clearly, Director Rodney Stokes, former Director Rodney Stokes, moved the issue forward. He signed a new order in approximately July or August of last year, making the effective date October 1. He's the one that made the decision to enforce the order beginning April 1st, and that those decisions were his and his alone. And as of July 9th is the official start date. He's no longer the director of the Department of Natural Resources. It's going to be a new guy. And so that really kind of you know, begs the question here is we're all wondering what the new person is going to do with this issue.
Well, I certainly hope he gives a more favorable view to the needs of the farmers. I think sometimes with change, there is that hope that there will be a fresh look taken. Is there any sense that you all have that this might be a result of some of the publicity about the incident and maybe they had to make a change in personnel to shake things up a little bit?
There's no question. This was, in my opinion anyway, this was the biggest issue that the Michigan Department of Natural Resources dealt with since the Snyder administration started. And it's been a big one. If you still go to the internet, you're still going to find a lot of things on this. To your point of what's the new person going to, is he going to look more favorable upon farmers? He's certainly qualified to do that because it's our current Department of Agriculture Director, Keith Cray. He's been asked by the governor to take over the directorship of the DNR, so the former director of the Michigan Department of Agriculture is the new director of the Department of Natural Resources.
Well, he certainly will have a knowledge of farming, and this was a big criticism that I had of the DNR getting into the business of running the farming regulation. They didn't have any experience with that. I will really hope that things change under the new leadership. That's an exciting development. Scott, what is your strategy from here on out to lobby on this issue?
Well, there's legislation pending in the Michigan Senate that is the state legislature has pretty much decided that under the circumstances of this is my opinion, that's what politics is people's opinions, has pretty much decided that under the umbrella of the DNR saying we're going to implement the order unless you do what we tell you to do, and that's passed legislation, I think it's pretty clear that they're not going to do that. So a legislative fix to this issue is not going to happen, in my opinion. I think this issue is going to go either one of two ways. Either the new director takes over and figures out a course of action to solve the problem, or it's going to be decided, as Mark Baker outlined, it's going to be decided in litigation, and it could be decided of whether this is a constitutional order or not. And that is a critical thing because this is a felony to harbor an invasive species, to harbor these certain pigs that look a certain way. And it begs the question, can the average person, when they read the order and when they read the declaratory ruling and look at their pigs, can they determine whether they're a felon or not? And that's going to be, if it makes it that far, that's a critical constitutional question that could decide this whole thing.
Well, now, do any of you know, do other states have this invasive species order problem for swine?
Sure. Florida, Texas, Hawaii, southern states, they have a terrible feral swine problem. But you got to remember, and Mark and Dave, you ought to comment on this, you've got to remember, even though the DNR wants everybody to believe that we're talking about feral swine here, we are not. We are talking about swine that are under the husbandry of humans and under the husbandry of Dave Tuxbury and Mark Baker. Correct, guys?
Yeah, that's right.
Correct. They were behind a fence. They all are behind a fence.
Yeah, I think me and Dave would probably agree we're against feral swine. You know, it's pigs that are outside the fence that are doing damage and hurting the environment. We're not for that, but that's not really our problem. We don't keep them on our side of the fence. The ones on our side of the fence, we feed, we feral, we look after them. And they are not feral swine.
And they're not harboring disease because they're tested regularly, correct?
I had, in my herd, I can speak for myself, in my 5 years of operation here, every single animal, I would take a little vial of blood after we harvested that animal. And I collected hundreds and hundreds of them and sent them to the state of Michigan. Over the five-year time, there was thousands of them that I sent to the state for testing, and it was not required. And nothing came back negative, or I mean positive. Everything came back negative. So there was no disease in my herd at all.
See, and that's because both Mark Baker and Dave Tuxbury's farms, all farms in Michigan, are governed under Michigan law called the Animal Industries Act. All animals that are under the husbandry of humans are governed by that law. And what is just the strangest thing in the world is how we ended up with the Department of Natural Resources involved in this is, well, you know, that decision was made by the leadership of the Department of Natural Resources, and it's wrong. As you've correctly stated, farms should be governed by the Department of Agriculture.
What I think is most unfortunate is other industry groups using the law maliciously against their competition. You know, clearly there's a threat being posed to agribusiness by this emerging market of people wanting to hunt their own deer and slaughter their own pigs and buy from farms that are raising on the free range as opposed to factory farming. So it makes sense that they would not take too kindly to the competition, but for them to go to the lengths to collude with the government agency to outlaw their competition, to me that's un-American. Just shouldn't be happening.
Yeah, see, years ago, several years ago, I never would have believed that this was even possible because it doesn't make any sense. But the fact is that is their position. There's a group of organizations related to agribusiness, and their position on this issue is they don't want the legislation passed, what I mentioned previously, and they want the invasive species order to go into effect that makes certain swine, and again, certain swine that look a certain way, to be an invasive species. It is speculative to say that they want to get rid of their competition, but Kim, I don't know what other reason you would take this position for.
Yes, because it seems like you could be an easy target for people that love freedom and liberty and free enterprise and the individual rights that are being trampled here, you know. Apparently the American Civil Liberties Union doesn't get involved in pig cases, but maybe they should.
It's really about property rights, you know, when you get right down.
Oh, yeah, Mark, bring that up.
They fired their first arrow at swine because most people don't really relate to swine very well. But what this really is we're property owners and we're business owners, and this is what we do for a living. And you really got to ask the question, where does the Department of Natural Resources get off telling us what breed of pig that we can raise on our farms? It's really none of their business. When you get right down to it, it's kind of ludicrous for them to even attempt to intervene in our businesses, but they've done that because they've said that our pigs somehow escape and get into the wild and become feral, and those feral pigs are creating a terrible nuisance in the wilds of Michigan. So what we need to do is really look at that. Is that the truth? You know, does anybody in the listening audience know of a feral swine problem in the state of Michigan? You know, since I got into this about 6 months ago, I've talked with all my farmer friends and anybody else I can get my hands on, and no one has seen feral swine or had any problems on their own property with them. So the DNR has made this up, and they seem to have some sort of agenda. And you know, it's like what Scott was saying. I think it is the agenda of the ag leaders of Michigan, and it seems that what they really want to do is put all the family farms out of business so that they can just capture that market share. I mean, that's the way it looks. If they have a different testimony to that, we'd love to hear it. Love to have them on this program too. But that sure is the way it looks. They're trying to put the family farm out of business.
Well, I hope all good Americans will stand up and defend you guys and all of your peers that are affected by this. And I do hope you get your day in court very soon. And I do hope that the new head of the DNR straightens this mess out. Well, thank you very much. I know we could go on and on. There's a lot at issue here. There's a lot of details that we've had to leave undiscussed, but I hope maybe we can have another conversation in the near future and talk about the latest developments at that point. Thank you very much for your time tonight, and carry on, and Godspeed with your efforts.
Thanks, Kim.
Thank you.
Yep. Thanks.
Thank you, Dave. Thanks, Scott. Thanks, Mark. Have a good night.